I would first like to thank Jerry for the opportunity to teach. I would say thanks for asking me to teach, but you didn't ask me. You just said I was going to.
You're welcome.
Okay, we're going to start in Romans, and we're going to look at the doctrine of good news. So I was thinking about the happiest things in God's word, or the things that make me the happiest, and I decided to teach on the basic doctrine of the word that's written to our administration, because what's better than that? I mean, there's countless promises in God's word and rights and privileges outlined in the word that we can joy and rejoice over, but even the most basic doctrine that we believe is enough to be happy about for our lives and literally forever, because that's included in it. So that's what we're going to look at. And the gospel is the good news regarding what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And literally the word gospel means good news. And the basic doctrine that we believe is really good news for us. We went from a place that was horrible to literally having everything you could ever want. So the basic doctrine is the believer's righteous stand, the mystery, and the hope of Christ's return. So that's what we're going to look at. First, we're going to look at the believer's righteous stand in Romans 5. So you could go there if you're not there already. So as a typical millennial or Gen Z, which I'm right at the border, which maybe is why I'm so weird, I looked up on Google what three things make people happy in life. And I know that Google is not a source for truth, nor should you look to it for truth, but I figured it might tell me what people expect and what people look for, you know, what people think is going to make them happy and what people want out of life. Like if you ask someone from your whole life, what do you want? Like what would fulfill it? I figured Google could maybe help me to think of what normal people want or expect or hope for. And so it came up with someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to. And unsurprisingly, those are all fulfilled in the basic doctrine of the word. That's what people think is going to make them happy. That's what they're looking for. And that's literally what we have. And it was kind of a joke that I looked it up. But in reality, those are people's expectations and biggest hopes for their lives. So even if everything physically is going wrong in our lives, we still have what everyone wants for free. And it can't be taken away from us. It's irrevocable. So we never have less than the fullest lives, less than the ultimate peace, which is peace with God, the victory. And really, there's nothing that someone could want in this life that God can't do one better, and that he hasn't already done one better and made that available to people. So Romans 5, the believer's righteous stand. Starting verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So God justified us through Jesus Christ. He bought it. He paid for it, and we didn't do anything. He bought us peace with him, which is really amazing. So right off the bat, as soon as we believed, we became righteous. There wasn't like a process, nothing that we had to work for. We just became perfect before God. And as Aaron's whole teaching was about, we got someone to love, which is, you know, what Google said you need. You got, we got someone to love right away, God and his son, Jesus Christ. And that's really amazing. You could go to chapter 3 of Romans. Romans 3, verse 21 through 25. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation or payment through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. So we're made righteous not by good works, not by our own effort, but by believing in what Christ accomplished. And that's amazing that we don't have to do anything. And this teaching isn't about convincing you guys of what you already believe. It's just appreciating it and rejoicing together, because it's amazing. Like, this is the stuff people all want. People work their whole lives to be good enough and to be righteous, and we just got it right away. We don't have to worry about it ever again. And for us, our whole lives are not about achievement because of this. They're not about perfection or pleasing anyone. That's good news. And that's something I'm probably going to say a lot. That's good news, because it's like hearing it for the first time. That's good news. That changes everything. It changes the whole picture. We've been freely given everything to enjoy. And just look at the wording here. It's like there's so much freedom in these verses, that we've been justified freely, that there's no difference between any of us. That means there's no competition. We're all just here. We all have the same stuff. We're all different in this body, and there's no competition. We don't have to compete against each other or try to be better or anything like that. And redemption through Christ, not by anything that we did. So that's really cool. You could go to Romans 8. And we could not have completed the law, but good news again, the law's gone. It's just gone. That's not something we could have even tried to do, but it's been fulfilled already by Jesus Christ. Grace has been freely awarded to us, and we're in a great position in this life. Cool. Romans 8, 29. Okay. Romans 8, 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So just like that, after God perfected us, we got God on our side forever. Because we're perfect before him, because we're reconciled to him, nobody can stand against us. No one can. And nobody can accuse us, and nobody can condemn you. That's good news. Like, we can walk around knowing nobody can condemn me, nobody can accuse me, nobody can stand against me. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And that's literally true. Nobody can be against us because we won. You could go to Colossians 2. All that we worry about, not being good enough for, or being wrong about, is gone. And that, for most people, that's just what they do all the time. They worry that they're not making the right decision, or that they're not good enough for something, or they are wrong about it. But for us, it just doesn't matter. Obviously, we want to make the right decision, but we're righteous before God. We're perfect already. Nobody can stand against us, and we don't have to worry our whole lives about that. And that's amazing. Colossians 2. Also, God's record is the only one that counts. It's the only one that lasts and endures, and it's forever. So even if somebody made a list of all the things you did wrong, they're going to die. The list is going to burn. And that's it. God's list is good things. And that is the one that endures. That's the one that lasts. Nobody can accuse you or me. Now Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That is good news. So there was a list. And now it's clean. You have a clean record. It's like somebody who was condemned to die, like in our courts here or something, and now they're not. It just got wiped clean. And we don't have to figure out now how to get out of that, how to get out of death, and how to get out of being wrong about everything ever. It's clean. It's been wiped clean. And we're cleared of that. So we can just rejoice about this stuff now because we have everything. In this life, what people try to accomplish their whole lives, we have already fulfilled because God did it as soon as we believed. That's an amazing life. So the mystery, number two, go to Ephesians 3 if you want. Ephesians 3, verse 4 through 6. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So God's plan from the beginning, always, was to make salvation available to all people, all men, and that we could be one body across all nations as we are this day, literally, like all you guys, we're here together. And so there's Christ in each of us by believing of the word, of the good news. So now we have each other to love in addition to God and his son, Jesus Christ. And that's now and forever. This is a family that lasts more than this lifetime. It's a family that lasts forever and is never going to go away. The bond is spiritual, which is greater than anything. That's one that really lasts, one that really sticks. And it's something to really be happy about. That's something that God gave us freely. We have each other. So not only are we righteous, perfect before God, at peace with God, but we're here together for this life. We have one another. So that's awesome. Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the mystery is Christ in you, and Christ in me, and Christ in all of us, and Jews and Gentiles alike. Anyone. This is open to anyone. And what else is there that's like that in the world? Most things are selective. Most things are earned. This is the thing that unifies everyone, that it doesn't matter where you came from, what you did. It's available to every person that you could tell this to. Yeah, we all make up the one body of Christ, and we're spiritually alive now, which we weren't before. We all have God's seed, Holy Spirit, which within each and every one, and we have power. So not only are we righteous, at peace with God, in this together, we also have unthinkable power, impossible power that you could do anything with, or that you, not that you could do anything with, but that we could do anything. The power of God in us. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 19. Things that were impossible are no longer impossible to us. Ephesians 2, 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So they're part of this family too, the people that we read all about. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So we aren't alone. We aren't strangers anymore or foreigners anymore. And this world really tries to make people feel that way, especially this year, that you're alone and it's just you. But spiritually, we're never alone. We stand in this body together. We have God with us all the time. We're part of a family now that's going to outlast our time here on Earth. And we're not strangers. We're not foreigners anywhere. Well, we are foreigners on Earth, but we have each other here for the time being. We have someone to love each other, and we definitely have something to do. So it says in verse 21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. So we fit exactly into this body. We each have a spot, and God lives among us. As we grow closer to God, we grow closer together, and we also grow in our ability to serve in the body. So we definitely have something to do while we're here. And even if it's not serving, we at least get to hang out with each other. You'll never be alone. We're God's plan for the ages. We're God's plan to help this earth and to get people born again. We represent the absent Christ, and each one of us belongs in the body. A few weeks ago, Tim and I's old neighbor was commenting on all the people who would come in and out of our apartment. And he was like, you guys, it was the believers, you know, that we would hang out with. And he was like, you guys have so many friends, you'll never die alone. And that, like, was a weird thing to me, because I don't think about that. Like, that's actually a fear that a lot of people in the world have, that they won't find someone, or that, like, no one will be around and they'll die alone. And for me, that's never been a fear that I've had, because we're part of the body. And one, someone will always be there. Hopefully, you know, when I'm dying, one of you guys will be there. But we're never alone. And two, in fact, we're going to live forever. So you don't have to be afraid of dying alone. Like, we have forever. And that is a perfect segue into the third, the hope of Christ's return. So we're going to look now at the hope of Christ's return in Ephesians 2. So that's really awesome. Like, people's biggest fears, we don't even consider, we don't think about. And that's why we have to get the word out about this stuff and, you know, enjoy it. Okay, so Ephesians 2, verse 6 and 7. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So we're headed to eternal glory, and we're sure of it. That's really good news. A lot of people just wonder what's going to happen, but we can know because we have this word. And look at the amazing language that God uses here. For ages to come, God will show us the exceeding riches of his grace, which is unmerited divine favor, by way of his kindness to us. That's amazing. And you know, he could have just said, you guys will have an afterlife, like, don't worry, it's going to be good, it's not going to be hell. But instead, he gave us descriptions of what's going to happen so that we could look forward to it, we could imagine it, we could think about it. And it was so kind that he gave us this amazing word that we can really look forward to our future. We're going to spend forever with God as he shows us his kindness and his undeserved favor to us. That's good news. And there it is, something to look forward to, something to anticipate. So go to 1 Corinthians 15. And it really is something to look forward to every day, something that we can think about. It could happen any day, any moment. First Corinthians 15. 51 to 57. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we're heading for. And we have the greatest victory in this life. The reality is that we're all going to be changed. And this is something that we can wait for and look forward to every day. So it's really cool that we can think about it and dream about it and imagine it. And that's a great thing to do with the hope. That's how God can show you how amazing it's really going to be. Spend your days imagining it, thinking of it, thinking what you're going to do there, how amazing it's going to be, and how perfect. And something that's really cool is that the best is yet to come. The prime of our lives is still coming. It's not when you're 20. And a lot of people, I know this because of my advanced age, a lot of people, as they get older, they run out of things to look forward to in their physical life because there's not a lot ahead necessarily. But for us, no matter how old we are, 500, whatever, the best is yet to come. Our prime is approaching as the day approaches that Christ comes back. The prime is not in this life. This whole life compared to that is horrible. And so whatever is going on in your life, the best is yet to come. Your prime is still approaching, and it's going to be the best of everything that we've ever gone through. And that's amazing. It says in 54, "For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, death is swallowed up in victory." And this is something I wasn't sure I was going to talk about, but I'm going to. I've been listening to the Twilight books recently, which I'm somewhat ashamed of, but I love them. And the other day, so the premise of a lot of it is that the main character, don't roll your eyes. The main character is considering becoming an immortal, which to do, you have to become a vampire as well. And I was like, what would that be like to be an immortal? Like to know that you're going to live forever. And then I was like, duh, we have that. And it's amazing because so like a lot of these books and movies that people really love, like Star Wars or Harry Potter or Twilight, like, well, people like it. They do. The premise is that there's a main character living their ordinary life, and then they find out that there's something more. There's something that they didn't know about, that whether it's the Force or it's magic or it's whatever, that there's something that they could be a part of and like live forever or have power unthinkable. And then they go after it, like trying to spend their life doing that because they're like, oh my God, that's so amazing. Like I never knew about that. I had this ordinary life. And that's us. We have that. We have the real one, not like that dumb stuff. We have the real one. We have power. We have immortality. We're going to have new bodies that are immortal, and we're waiting for that. So we should be those people that we found out about this and then we go for it. We learn all about it. We are so excited about it, and we tell other people about it because we learned about it, and we don't even have to become vampires to do it. So that's pretty cool. So 1 Thessalonians 4. And it's cool to remember like what it was like to hear this for the very first time, or to pretend that you are hearing it for the very first time, that you didn't know you could have eternal life, and now you can. And that's really great news. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So we know exactly what's going to happen. And that's amazing that God told us that. Verse 18, it says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And this is a comfort any time in our lives, whether you're having a bad day, whether someone just died, whatever is going on, this is what we believe. And we have a sure future that we're waiting for. This is what makes each day easier and lighter and better. And God told us about it. It says in verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant. He told us about it because he wanted us to know. He wanted us to know what's coming. And that's really good news. We're going to be immortals. So 2 Corinthians 4, to close. Second Corinthians 4:18. Okay. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we can't be downcast and we can't be sad when we look at the unseen, at the eternal things that we have that God gave us for free. This body that we're part of, the body of Christ, is eternal. Our righteousness is eternal. Our future is eternal. And we can remember those things. It's not our imagination. This is our doctrine that God has given us to believe. And it's all good news. It's not like we have to do more or earn more or be a certain way. It's all good news. It's all freeing news. And we have to hold tight to this stuff because the world will try to take it away from our minds. But this is the truth of our lives. And what a blessed people we are to have all of this stuff for free. Just because we believed and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, this stuff can't be taken away now, and it's eternal. It's bigger than whatever's going on in our lives, whatever physical stuff there is. We have the victory. We stand together in the mystery. We're righteous and at peace with God. We're awaiting the return and forever together. And that's good news. That's it.